Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of Journey with Surah Al-Hajj. I'm going to get straight into it because the last episode, Sheikh, we ended it in on a high. So I just wanted to ask, where does our journey go now?
Okay, so remember we had the disbelievers, we had the believers, we had the adornment and the majesty and dignity Allah gives them because of their internal and external beauty. So now, Allah, before He takes us into the Hajj itself, which we're about to get into in these verses. So the first thing that Allah says, again going back to the disbelievers first and foremost. So Allah says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ والمسجد الحرام الذي جعلناه للناس سواء العاكف فيه والباد ومن يرد فيه بإلحاد بظلم نذقه من عذاب أليم وإذ بوأنا لإبراهيم مكان البيت ألا تشرك بي شيئا وطهر بيتي للطائفين والقائمين والركع السجود وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق.
Indeed, those who have disbelieved and avert people from the way of Allah and from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, which we made for the people, equal are the residents therein and one from outside, and also whoever intends a deed therein of deviation in religion or wrongdoing. We will make him taste a painful punishment. And mention, O Muhammad, when we designated for Abraham the site of the house, saying, Do not associate anything with me, and purify my house for those who perform tawaf, and those who stand in prayer, and those who bow and prostrate. And proclaim to the people the Hajj pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot, and on every lean camel. They will come from every distant pass.
Now in these verses, the first thing Allah begins with is talking about the disbelievers and how they prevented the believers from Masjid al-Haram. So if you go back in the life of the Prophet this was what was happening. You know, they would prevent the Muslims, even in Makkah, from praying at the Haram in front of the Kaaba. Then when the Prophet migrated to Medina, they didn't allow them to come. There was no way, and there was battles between Quraysh and the Prophet. And they continued and persisted in preventing the believers from coming to the house of Allah, the Al-Kaaba. So Allah mentions, this is what they always do. They always prevent the believers from coming to Allah's house. Whether that is a physical prevention or by causing doubts and conjecture and all kinds of other ideas to challenge the Muslims, to turn them away from the house of Allah, all of that is included. And then Allah says, Yani, so here Allah has begun, before talking about the Hajj itself and Ibrahim alayhi salam, He started about talking about venerating the house of Allah and the special place that it has. And this is yani key and paramount to our religion, because this is our direction, this is our Qibla, this is something that unifies all of us. It's the house of Allah. So here Allah calls it Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred house, okay, that Allah has made yani, for the people, whether they're coming to it or whether they live there. This is a sanctuary for them. And then Allah mentions this key point that we really need to spend a little bit of time on. Here Allah says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Here, this house is so special that it is different to any other place in the world. Any other place in the world, if you thought about doing a haram, okay, but then you didn't do it, okay, Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, "Man hamma bi sayyatin," whoever has that feeling and wants to do a haram, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. And then he doesn't do it. كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. That Allah writes it down, because he didn't do it, as a full good deed.
As a credit.
As a credit. So no minus. Bank balance with Allah is in yani the plus, in the positive.
So you wanted to do bad.
Yep.
You thought about this bad. You didn't do this bad.
Yep.
Instead of getting nothing, like, because you didn't do it, Allah then turns it into credit for you.
Yeah, look at the generosity of Allah. if you thought about a good deed,
yeah,
right, and you did the good deed, that's not one good deed, that's 10 to 700. Okay? This is Allah's generosity. He wants to give. He doesn't want to punish. He wants to give and give. You don't do it. Okay? Allah didn't even say why you didn't do it. You just didn't do it. You thought about it. You wanted to do it, but you didn't do it. Allah's going to reward you a full good deed. Right, that's normal everywhere in the world. Okay. But Makkah is completely different. This is the sanctuary of Allah. This is the most beloved place on the face of the earth to Allah. Okay? And you remember how the Prophet ﷺ was so upset that his people had kicked him out of Makkah. So he stands there and he makes dua and he turns to Allah and he says, "You know, Makkah, you are the most beloved place on earth to me. If it wasn't for my people expelling me, I would never leave."
Okay? Yeah, because the first Qibla was towards Masjid al-Aqsa, right?
Yeah, first Qibla is Palestine.
And the love of
Bayt al-Maqdis. Yeah. Yeah, that area. So at that point, the Prophet ﷺ hasn't changed Qibla, sure, because the change of the Qibla happens in Medina. Still, the Prophet ﷺ saying, "You are the most beloved place on earth to me," because it's the most beloved to Allah. So venerating this place, it's part of our iman. So Allah says here, whoever even desires, and the word he uses, bi'ilhad, yani turning away from the upright path, evil, intending deviation, intending something that is not upright, not good, just intending that in Makkah is a sin. And that sin will earn you an intense and horrid punishment.
Wow, so it's not the same.
It's not the same
at all.
Because
this place is a sanctuary.
This is sacred with Allah. Allah has made it. You can't even intend haram there. This is why some of the companions after the Prophet ﷺ, remember, you know, the companions used to live in Makkah. Then they migrated to Medina. Now the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina, they lived with the Prophet ﷺ in Medina. Because you want to be with the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah, if we had the opportunity, that's where every one of us would want to be. And then the Prophet ﷺ passes away. So now they have the option to go where they want to go. Okay? Some of them did go to Mecca, but many of them actually left Mecca because, yeah, the being in Mecca is so rewardful, the reward is multiplied. Especially the salah in Mecca. But then also the sin is. So being weary of that made many of them leave Mecca and go to other places, because there's a fear. If I even intend a sin in Mecca,
it's sinful.
It's sinful. It counts
it's
against
added
you.
As a negative.
Yeah, it's added as negative. Not only any negative.
Okay,
this is a blessed place.
Is it a multiplied negative?
Right, so how is it multiplied? We wouldn't say it's multiplied in the sense of
the
you did more, you did worse.
Okay.
But the quality of it, yani the weight of a wrong in Makkah is far greater than the weight of a wrong anywhere other than Makkah.
Purely because this is a sanctuary.
Yeah, purely because this is Allah's sanctuary on the earth, Makkah.
And everybody that's there, whether you live there or visit there, they're regarded as guests of Allah.
Correct? Yeah, they are the guests of Allah. Yani, the guests of Allah, strictly speaking, is those who come for Umrah or Hajj. Yeah, strictly speaking.
But we're talking about incompetents who just come in there.
Yeah,
business.
Just coming their business, whatever.
Yeah.
They still have to abide by the rules of the sanctuary that Makkah is. They're not strictly speaking the guests of Allah, but you're coming to the sanctuary of Allah.
You have to abide by the rules.
Yeah, you have to abide by the rules. Otherwise, you can be punished.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, so this is how Allah begins the whole picture for us about the beginning of the Hajj. Beginning of yani what the surah is named after. So now, straight after this really important point about, right, you must venerate Makkah. This is my sanctuary. Okay? Then Allah moves into the beginning of the Hajj itself. Okay, so Allah says, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. So when we prepared for Ibrahim alayhi salam, this place where the house of Allah would be established. And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? He said, do not associate anything with Allah. And the commandment was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, purify my house for those who are going to come and make tawaf. Those who are going to stay there and they're going to remain there and they're going to pray there with ruku' and sujood. So this is the beginning of getting into the detail of a Hajj. So you're meant to think, Allah prepared this place. Allah chose the place. This was always known that the house of Allah will be built there even before Ibrahim alayhi salam had built the house of Allah there. And the message connected with that house has only been one message, which every prophet had carried. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of the fathers of the prophets. Yeah, Adam alayhi salam, then Nuh alayhi salam, then Ibrahim alayhi salam, and every prophet after that comes from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is the message. Do not hold in your heart anyone like you hold Allah in your heart. The heart is only for Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. It shows the magnitude of this place. I mean, it's like a green zone. You go there, this is a sanctuary, this is where you worship Allah, and you're safe.
That's right. That's exactly how Allah wants it. Someone who wants to come and worship me, make sure they're safe and looked after here. This is not any normal place, and make sure it is only for the worship of Allah, and it's a pure place. And it's clean.
Sheikh, we're going to stop here. We're just going to take a quick break. Brothers and sisters, please join us straight after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back. Alhamdulillah, we've been taking some amazing lessons from Journey with Surah Al-Hajj. Sheikh, before the break, we were talking about, in effect, the green zone that Makkah is, the sanctuary for everybody that visits there, prays there, and not only visits there, stays there, do business there. About the magnitude of how it's different from other places. Inshallah, are we going to continue this?
Or yeah, so we've just begun now. After Allah has spoken about venerating His house, we've now started the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the establishing of Allah's house. And you called it Allah's green zone. Yeah, this is for the world, and this is what they must adhere to. Yani dealing with Makkah as a special place, venerating it, and making sure that anyone who goes to Makkah to worship Allah is safe and left to worship Allah, and no harm comes to them. And this is how even the Quraysh would treat...
I was going to say that.
Yeah, even the
even the pagans, they extended to them, right? They also understood that anyone coming here needs to be safe. Anyone coming here, they cannot be robbed or mistreated. And they need to be looked after with.
Yeah, that even more than just just make sure they're safe and don't harm them. Much more, it was an honor
for them to welcome
them. For them to welcome them and serve them. These are the guests of Allah. So they would take honor and privilege in serving them. It was an honor to be the ones who gave water to the people coming for Hajj. It was an honor to look after them. Okay, so you see how times have shifted. Now, it's like, make as much money out of them as possible. Rip them off as much as you can. It was never like this. It's because the hearts have changed. The hearts there, even though they were pagans, they were venerating Makkah.
But to be honest, we do still see a lot of that with the people that live there.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. When I go the for good Hajj, of the Ummah is always there.
SubhanAllah, when I go for Hajj, I remember when we're leaving either one of the airports, Jeddah, or if you're coming from Medina, but especially on the route from Jeddah to going to Makkah, because we know part of that is outside the parameters of Makkah, as we know as the sanctuary. They would be on the road giving out water, and little packets of pastries and dates and stuff like that along the route to as many Hujjaj coming from different parts of the world. As long as they could, they would do it from dawn till dusk. And I'll see them doing it all the time, subhanAllah. And I always feel like, they really, 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 really take a lot of importance from doing this.
Yeah, that hasn't gone. That hasn't gone. The difference now, what it seems like, is that in those days, it was part of the tradition that the whole system of that area had to adhere to. Okay? And it would be such a crime not to follow that system and break from that system. Whereas now, it's turned into, no, the system is something else, and people, individuals, do this. Okay, so anyway, the point being that this veneration of Mecca was something that Allah established, and Allah is specifying before he gets into the story of Ibrahim. And he also mentions, what's the point of this house? It's to venerate me and glorify me. And don't hold anyone in high esteem like you hold me in high esteem. I am the majesty. Okay? Allah tushrik bi shay'a. Don't worship anyone other than me. Devote yourself to me. Then Allah mentions the cleanliness. وَطَهِرْ بَيْتِي. You know, like a guest. How do you honor a guest?
Well, you welcome to your house, make sure everything's clean, you got that, good food.
Exactly. So here, these are the guests of Allah coming for Hajj and Umrah. Make sure the house of Allah is clean. And the house of Allah, no rubbish, no filth should ever be there. And mashallah, you know the workers in the haram, you see, something happens, they're there in a flash, cleaning it up, moving it, etc. Even though they're not treated that well, and they don't get their wages on time many times, and they're living a very poor life. But they have such such eagerness to make sure the house of Allah is clean.
It brings me to one point. I was once sitting in the haram, just talking to one of the cleaners. Surprisingly, this cleaner was actually a millionaire.
MashaAllah.
He came from this sub-Asia, Pakistan, I believe he came. But he comes every year, 2 or 3 months before the Hajj season. And he stays there throughout the Hajj season. And then he leaves a month or two after.
MashaAllah.
And the only reason he does that is so that he can come and clean the house of Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
And he's actually a millionaire. And the way that he was very reluctant to tell me his story, because he was talking English, Urdu, the whole lot. And I was thinking, you don't fit the bill for a normal person who does this role.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what, I'll be honest with you. And then we went, and I was thinking, subhanAllah, look at this. There's gems, there's people out there that do things to try and make sure that this sanctify the house is being done.
Exactly.
Whether it's for money, whether they feel it for the sake of Allah, and whether they've chosen this road, even though there are hardships in this road, because we know, we've seen them. And I think it's well known that the way they clean their house and the amount of people that come out and they clean it, you can see that they enjoy it a lot.
They do it because you can see the way they work and clean the house of Allah. It's not a job. This is part of their iman.
Yeah.
And just imagine, because of this, you could be a gem with Allah. You could be, and it reminds me of the story of that woman who died, and she used to clean the masjid. And when she passed away, the Prophet said, where is she? They said, she passed away. He said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? She used to do a simple job. Insignificant person in the sight of the people. Yet with Allah, she has such a standing that the Prophet ﷺ goes to her grave and prays over her because they didn't tell him. Because of this one deed. It could be something so simple that you do, but it's not actually simple. وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِي. And cleanse my house. Not only the cleansing, the physical cleansing, but cleanse it from the filth of hypocrisy, jealousy, greed, envy, from shirk first and foremost, from associating others with Allah and worshipping others with Allah. So all of this is carried, and it tells us the purpose of any house of Allah is nothing other than worship. You don't get involved in business there. You don't chit-chat about things that are haram. You don't have conversations about business and trade. No, the houses of Allah are sanctified places, the most beloved places to Allah. And the greatest of them, the house of Allah in Mecca. So treat it with that respect.
So on that, does this, I know the verse is specifically talking about Mecca and the sanctuary within Mecca. But does this extend to masjids outside? Like, for example, we're in a masjid here, We've been welcomed by the person that cleans the masjid here, Brother Muhammad. And to be honest, he's doing a fantastic job. But can we say that this extends to, to these places?
Yani, cleaning the house of Allah, any house of Allah. Because remember, that woman, she was in Medina.
Which is the second greatest
masjid. And the cleaning of the house of Allah is something rewardful. Remember a story of Imam al-Bukhari, for instance. He was teaching in the masjid, and during his dars, he noticed a piece of rubbish on the floor. So he waited until everyone left. And then he went and he picked it up, put it in his pocket, walked out of the masjid and disposed of it. But Allah was witness, and Allah was witness to his deed and caused someone else to witness it. So it was recorded for Imam Bukhari.
That he did this.
And we're talking about the man that Allah chose to preserve the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ. And look at the veneration of Allah's house. He sees rubbish. He's,
He didn't tell anyone else to do it.
No, he wanted the reward.
And he did it in a way that it could be secret between him and Allah. Allah wrote this for him.
This is the master of hadith.
To be honest, that witness wasn't for him. I think that witness for us.
Yeah, it's for us.
To be honest.
Yes, that is definitely for us.
To show us that, look, this is a heavyweight, if you want to say.
And so this is a heavyweight deed. And subhanAllah, you see it. When you're in the masjid, you see people, they see a speck of things on the whatever it is.
They pick it up.
And they put it in their pocket.
Yeah.
This is known. Because innately we know the house of Allah should be cleaner than our own houses. It should be cleaner than anything else. So we're very particular about our own houses, especially men. Yeah, we want a clean house, don't we?
Yeah.
So the house of Allah has more.
And we thank our sisters and also our brothers to keep it clean as well.
We thank our wives, don't we? Because they're at home and dealing with that more so than ever. So how do you feel when you walk into a clean house? How do you feel?
You feel good. You feel like positive vibes, to be honest.
You feel at peace. You feel I want to sit here. Yeah. I want to do my ibadah here.
In comparison to if you're walking into a mumble jumble place.
Yeah, chaos. You can't have that. So Allah says, make sure this is fit and ready for people to worship me. Okay? So then Allah begins the journey of Hajj, where it started. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Right. So here Allah is saying, and proclaim to people the Hajj. Okay, so this takes us back to the beginning. So Allah has told Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's built Al-Kaaba, okay, now proclaim. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as in the hadith, he says, but Allah, when I proclaim this Hajj, I'm going to say it with my voice. How far is my voice going to travel?
Wow.
Logical question.
Yeah.
Allah says to him, you make the call and we'll make people hear it. So because of that, everyone between the heavens and the earth heard the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's why you see the people coming from every place to make Hajj
now. This is evident.
And if you look, we need to have this feeling whenever we go to Al-Kaaba. We are actually responding to Allah's call, which He ordered His slave, His Khalil, His one of the two closest slaves to Him. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Khalil of Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Khalil of Allah. We're responding to that call.
Sheikh, if you break it down, really break it down, in reality, what does Makkah have? It's barren land. There was no water there. There's nothing. There's no attraction for anyone to go there. There's no amusement park. There's no there's no beaches. There's nothing there for us to say, like, we want to go and enjoy there. What is there? But yet you see millions upon millions upon millions of people throughout, I would say billions, throughout the time that the call was made to now. People are anxious. People are stressed that if they're getting their visa, if they're getting this, can they go? Have they got the money just to go to that place?
This is because of Allah. Allah put it in our hearts because He said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, make the call, I'll make it happen. And it's happening. And it's going to continue happening until Yawm al-Qiyamah.
And this is evident.
Yeah. So Allah mentions this, and then He says, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالٌ وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. People are going to come walking and on riding beasts. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. They're going to come from every deep and far off valley. Now in this is something amazing. Right. At that time, there's not many people around, not many people are going to hear the call, and that message hasn't traveled far. But right now, Allah is saying they're going to come from every corner, everywhere in the earth. That tells you this message of Islam is going to take over the world.
Sheikh, we're going to stop there, inshallah, because we've come to the end of this episode. Brothers and sisters, please join us on the next episode to continue this beautiful journey with Suratul Hajj. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.